What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. A mysterious man that on the surface seemed to be close friends with many of the world's biggest figures. But where did this mysterious man come from? Where did he get all of his money and influence, and why was he using it the way he was? Today, we dive into part three of the story surrounding the mysterious Jeffrey Epstein.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Part three of the story of Jeffrey Epstein. In a profile of Epstein in New York Magazine in 2002, former Democratic Senate leader George J. Mitchell said of Epstein, "I would certainly call him a friend and a supporter." In the same article, Donald Trump remarked, "I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do. And many of them are on the younger side. No doubt about it, Jeffrey enjoys his social life." Yeah, that was a shitty impression, but I did my best. In July of 2019, Trump said, I knew him like everybody in Palm Beach knew him, stating four times he had not been a fan of Epstein and that he had not spoken to him in about 15 years. A video shot in 1992 surfaced showing the two men partying together at Mar-a-Lago. By 2007, Trump reportedly banned Epstein from his Mar-a-Lago club for unseemly pursuit of young females. The ban allegation was included in court documents filed by attorney Bradley Edwards, although Edwards later said it was a rumor he tried to but could not confirm. Bill Clinton lauded Epstein as a committed philanthropist with insights and generosity. At the time, Epstein was on the board of Rockefeller University, a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, and was a major donor to Harvard University. Epstein visited the White House while Clinton was president on four known occasions. In 1993, he went to a donor event at the White House with his companion, Ghislaine Maxwell. Around the same time, he also met with President Clinton's aide, Mark Middleton, on at least three occasions at the White House. In 1995, financier Lynn Foster discussed Jeffrey Epstein and currency stabilization with Clinton. Epstein, according to his own accounts, was heavily involved in the foreign exchange market and traded large accounts of currency in the unregulated Forex market. In 1995, Epstein also attended a small political fundraiser dinner for Bill Clinton, which included 14 other people such as Ron Perlman, Don Johnson, Jimmy Buffett, and dinner organizer Paul Perperzi. From the 1990s to mid-2000s, Epstein often socialized with the future President Donald Trump. Author Michael Wolff wrote that Trump, Epstein, and Tom Varek were at the time like a set of nightlife musketeers on the social scene. Epstein and Trump socialized both in New York City and Palm Beach, where they both had houses. In April of 2003, New York Magazine reported Epstein hosted a dinner party in his Manhattan residence to honor Bill Clinton, who did not attend, although Trump did attend. According to the Washington Post, one person who knew Epstein and Trump during this time noted that they were tight and they were each other's wingmen. In November of 2004, Epstein and Trump's friendship ran into trouble when they became embroiled in a bidding war for a $40 million mansion. Mansion de l'Amitié, which was being auctioned in Palm Beach. Trump won the auction for $41 million and successfully sold the property 4 years later for $95 million to the Russian billionaire Dmitry something or other. That month was the last time Epstein and Trump were recorded to have interacted. So here we are into our third edition on the Jeffrey Epstein story, because it just keeps going. And just as we thought we were going to be wrapping up episode three, which we will on Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell gets arrested over the week. It is the 6th of July, 2020, when we're recording this. So that's going to be what we're going to get into, me and Carol, after we finish up Epstein and do her whole Wikipedia entry. Gosh, this is just an interesting case, and I don't know why. Is it just because it's like it's so fucking horrible, or is it because we're in the middle of a pandemic and we need one of those escape things, no matter how bad it is?
Well, I think I think it's one of those stories that is intriguing in a way, like a car wreck is.
Yeah,
that you can't help but drive by and look at it. But this has all of those elements, you know, that somebody's working on a movie.
Sure.
Because it's money, it's power, it's sex.
Mm-hmm. It's everything. It's crazy.
And then when you said that he and Donald Trump were each other's wingmen, I kind of got like the chills, you know, the ones that run up your back and make you go,
oh, yeah.
Like, that's a really disgusting thought.
I know. But of course, no, he, you know. Jeffrey hardly
or
knew him.
Bill Clinton. I mean, that would be,
yeah,
that's disgusting too.
It is. But I mean, they all are. I mean, anybody who really, you know, hung out with this guy to any extent had to have had some inkling on what the fuck was up. You know, I don't know if Epstein still socialized with people that weren't into his things, like even after he offered them. And was just kind of respected, like, oh, they're not into it. That's fine. We can still be friends over here when I'm in public in this place or that place. Or if he like just really relegated himself to people in that circle. I don't know. But I think
I imagine somebody as wealthy as he was,
yeah,
you know, there was a benefit to him to hobnob with a lot of different people. Yeah. So I don't think that's a side of yourself you would introduce to just anybody.
Yeah.
You got to feel pretty comfortable first, because what you're doing is illegal. Yeah. And especially if you're offering other people those, I mean, I don't know that he's saying, hey, here's this sex trafficking ring I'm running. But it could be more like, hey, I can get you young girls. That's probably more the way it would be.
Yeah, I think it was just like a advertisable, like, you know, business to elites and shit, like Epstein's, you know, sick sex ring or, you know.
Yeah.
But it was more like he's got that island and he knows how to bring these young girls in. And that's to some of these people, you know, that shit's like, oh, okay, that's my, you know, hook up for that. Because it means the more money some of these people get, the darker and weirder shit gets.
Yeah.
And then that's where this circle of just creepy shit, you know, gets in.
And then in episode part one or two of this, one and two of this, you know, in Palm Beach, he was arrested for this. Like, it wasn't like he went unreported for it, but he got away with it because of all his money. So once you get away with it, like, and then in New York, like, house arrest, what's that mean? You know, it's like, so he gets away with it, and that just empowers him.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to come after me. I've got money. I can buy anybody off.
And still a lot of his friends kept hanging with him, even after the arrest and stuff. There was some that certainly backed off
because
and did not.
They liked the young girls, Tony.
I know, but that's the disturbing thing. You look at this and it's like, well, why the fuck? I mean, they always knew. Oh, they're all part of it. I get it now. I mean, that's what makes you think. Yeah. And it, you know, it's just, it's fucked up. Anyway, let's continue on with the fine story of Jeffrey Epstein. SwissLeaks files indicate that Epstein had millions stored in offshore accounts. Map shows global extent of account holders in the leaked files. The exact origin of Epstein's wealth is unknown. Leslie Wexner was one source of Epstein's original wealth. An assistant of Epstein's also stated that he got his fortune started through Robert Maxwell, the media mogul father of Ghislaine Maxwell. When Epstein pleaded guilty in 2008 to soliciting and procuring prostitution, his lawyer stated he was a billionaire with a net worth of over $1 billion. A number of sources, however, have questioned the extent of Epstein's wealth and his status as a billionaire. According to an article in the New York Times, his fortune may be more illusion than fact. Epstein lost large sums of money in the 2008 financial crisis, and friends and patrons, including retail billionaire Leslie Wexner, deserted him following his pleading guilty to prostitution charges in 2008. New York Magazine claimed that there's scant proof of Epstein's financial bona fides, and Forbes also ran an article entitled "Why Sex Offender Jeffrey Epstein is Not a Billionaire." Spencer Coovan, an attorney for the three of Epstein's alleged victims in the case where Epstein pled guilty to sexual activity with minors, stated that he and his team persuaded every possible angle to find out Epstein's net worth, but found that much of his wealth is offshore. An investigation by the Miami Herald and the SwissLeaks indicated that Epstein had multiple financial accounts with millions of dollars in that were in offshore tax havens. In the Paradise Papers, records show that Epstein in February of 1997 became a client of Appleby, a Bermuda-based law firm which specializes in the creation of offshore companies and investment vehicles for the ultra-wealthy. A client profile of Epstein described his job cryptically as the manager of fortune. Federal prosecutors on July 12, 2019 stated in court documents that, based on records from one financial institution, that Jeffrey Epstein was extravagantly wealthy and had assets worth at least $500 million and earned more than $10 million a year. The extent of his wealth, however, was not known since he had not filed out a financial affidavit for his bail application. According to Bloomberg News, today, so little is known about Epstein's current business or clients that the only thing that can be valued with any certainty are his properties. the Miami Herald in their investigation of the Paradise Papers and Swiss leaks concluded that Epstein's wealth is likely spread secretly across the globe. So what do you think about that? All his money, all that?
Here's a theory.
Yeah.
So say you're Prince Andrew,
mm-hmm.
for example.
For example, yes.
And so you're hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein and these young girls, and now all of a sudden there's a video of you or photos of you. And it's like, you know, these could go public or you could pay me $5 million. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you blackmailed 50 guys, you could make a lot of money.
Sure.
50 very wealthy guys.
Yeah.
You know, and her family had a lot of money.
Yeah. Ghislaine or Ghislaine?
Yeah. However you say your name.
Yeah.
I've heard it said pronounced so many different ways.
Before the show, we had a 5-minute discussion on how we're going to say her name.
So, and we still don't know.
I'm going to go with Ghislaine. That's what I've been hearing on news reports all day. So if I can remember to do that, that's the other thing.
And if it comes out differently from time to time, well, there you go.
You know what I'm talking about.
Because I will probably say it differently a few times.
Maxwell.
But I don't know. I've always thought that. The whole thing's just suspicious to me.
That's an interesting theory.
He has these big parties and brings all these people to his island to do what? What are you doing on his island, all those men and those young women? Well, I got an idea.
He's extorting people.
I mean,
that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Is this a theory that you, because I honestly, I haven't done a whole lot of research on this other than just what we're reading on the show. And then some of the like Dateline-esque type things I've seen. Is this a theory you're just like kind of talking about right now? Or have you seen that theory on something?
No, I don't know that I've seen it. Like, because I think that a lot of, reputable.
Yeah.
Like news outlets, mm-hmm. not like us, we're just gossiping.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think they can really say that because, I mean, that could lead to a lot of lawsuits or something. But to me, it kind of makes some sense. Everybody's like, no one really knows how he made his money.
And that
like,
right duh. There, that makes sense. I mean, it's just a theory. We're not saying it's fact. But that would be something if I were the FBI and I was fucking going down every road here now trying to figure out, well, where the hell is this money or how did it? Because when they trace all that shit, they're finding the trail of where did it all originally get sourced from? And if they can ever do that, there's another thing. But yeah, I mean, that whole theory there, I think it's got some legs. I mean, I think that could very easily be, you got somebody like Bill Clinton or you got insert other person here that's got hundreds of millions of dollars. And guess what? I got something on tape that you don't want other people to see. You can't litigate that. You can't even bring that into court. You know, it's extortion completely, but it's a flat out, you know, give me $25 million or this is going to happen. You can ask for some exorbitant amount of money and get it. And that could,
you do that you to pay several. Me that,
yeah.
You come back to all these parties you want.
Or you keep paying me that every fucking year.
Right.
You know, who knows how this was all set up or how, because he can't be like, well, I'm going to go to my, you know, U.S. bank account and let me just do that transfer over here to Jeff for, a cool 10 mil. It's the 5th of May and it's time to do that. You know, no, it's just there's, you know, I'm sure that would be an interesting money trail to follow. If you looked at his accounts, where is this money coming in from and try and figure that shit show out? Because I think that right there is what's going to lead you to all the people who knew all the shit and were involved in all of his shit. They were paying him not necessarily for the services, but for him to keep his mouth shut.
It's a theory, and then he's having some really fun parties for these old guys that are disgusting creeps. But
and there, it's like, here's the deal. I'm never going to release this stuff, and you can come as often as you want, but you still have to keep paying me this $5 million a year or whatever, and I'll keep my mouth shut, and you can come and go as you please. That's all part of the deal. It's like an all-inclusive fucked-up resort. Whether you use it or not, it's like a bad hole. It's like the worst fucking gym membership in the world.
It's like, you got to keep paying it. Doesn't matter. And you try and cancel. We don't fucking care. You can't cancel this shit. That's what it kind of was. And I bet these people were paying it. Even, you know, even when it is true that some of these folks never had talked to him in 10 years, they're probably like just so disgusted. They're like, I got to fuck. Like, he's got me. He's fucking checkmate. I'm not going to go to his fucking island anymore. Because God knows what else he's going to get on me. But so fuck that. I'm not going to be part of that. And I just hope to God he never gets caught.
And then he did.
Yeah.
And then mysteriously ends up dead.
By the time this airs, do you think Ghislaine Maxwell will be alive? Today is the 6th of July, 2020. What are the odds? What do you give it? What percentage of her living to this airing, which is about a month out.
I don't even know that she'll serve a long jail sentence, because she honestly might not know all of the details as far as where the money is, how they got the money, who was all involved.
Money doesn't matter. It's going to be her knowing who came to that island and did what with her.
She probably fully well knows, but can anybody prove anything? You know, if she says, I don't know. Can you prove differently?
Yeah.
I mean, with some of the allegations with the women, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I think that's where her guilty crimes
yeah.
will be.
I think she knows a lot more about.
But as far as what she knows about the men involved.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that can be proved.
I don't know. I think you're probably right. But that more than anything is the pot of gold right there, is who were these people and what were they all involved in? Was it all?
Because that's what makes me mad. It's any kind of sexual trafficking.
Yeah.
That, you know, it could be young girls. It could be 20-year-old women or 30-year-old women. But they'll go after these women. But then the men seem to get off scot-free. It's like, she's arrested for prostitution.
Yeah.
Well, who are all the guys who are paying her? Like, once in a while you hear about a sting that way. But it always makes me so mad. I'm like, it's a crime both ways.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. But then I'm also like, you know, certain women who aren't trafficked, I mean, if they want to make money having sex, I'm not here to judge you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I couldn't. I'd go broke. I'd be like, I try so hard, and like, nobody will pay me.
It's a good thing I didn't have like a drink in my mouth, because I would have done a spit take.
Sorry.
At that moment.
It's just true. But anyway.
Anyway, back to Jeffrey Epstein.
He'd be like, oh my god, yeah, like when you were 13 maybe.
Jesus.
He's so disgusting.
Continuing on with the story of Jeffrey.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Epstein owned the Herbert and Strauss House on 9th East 71st Street in the Upper East Side of Manhattan in New York City. It was originally purchased for $13.2 million in 1989 by Epstein's mentor, Les Wexner, who renovated it completely. Epstein moved into the mansion in 1995 after Wexner married and moved with his wife to Columbus, Ohio to raise their family. He took full possession of the mansion in 1998 when he paid Wexner $20 million for it. The house was valued in 2019 by federal prosecutors at $77 million, while the city assessed it at $56 million. The mansion is reputedly the largest private residence in Manhattan at 21,000 square feet. Hidden under a flight of stairs, there's a lead-lined bathroom fitted with its own closed-circuit television screens and a telephone, both concealed in a cabinet under the sink. It also has its own heated sidewalk to melt away the snow. The entrance hall is lined with rows of individually framed prosthetic eyeballs that were made in England for injured soldiers. The financier's other properties include a residence in Palm Beach, Florida, purchased in 1990, 7 units in the apartment building near the Arc de Triomphe at 2020 Avenue Faux in Paris, France, a 7,500-acre ranch named Zorro Ranch near Stanley, New Mexico, purchased in 1993, a private island near St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands called Little St. James, which includes a mansion and guest houses purchased in 1998, and the neighboring island of Great St. James purchased in 2016. Epstein was building a compound on the latter, including an amphitheater, an underwater office, and pool, but ran into problems when a stop work order was issued in late 2018. Work continued despite the order. Epstein, previous to his final Manhattan home, lived in a spacious townhouse, which was a former Iranian government building that had been taken over by the State Department during the Iranian Revolution, at 34 East 69th Street for a rate of $15,000 a month from 1992 to 1995. He also previously owned a mansion outside Columbus, Ohio, near Wexner's home from 92 to 98, which he purchased from his mentor. Before the Herbert Strauss house was purchased, Wexner purchased in 1988 the adjacent townhouse at 11 East 71st Street. Like in the case of the 9th East 71st Street house, Epstein was on the deed at the 11 East 71st Street house as the trustee. The townhouse was sold in 1996 to the Comet Trust, which holds part of the assets to the Cody Gernsberg or the Bronfen family. Epstein rented offices from his business dealings in the Villard House at 457 Madison Avenue. Stephen Hoffenberg originally set up the offices for Epstein in 1987 when he was consulting for Tower Financial. Epstein used these offices until at least 2003. Around that time, Michael Wolff saw the financier in his office, which is the past, where the offices of Random House. Wolff noted that Epstein's offices were a strange place, which did not have a corporate feel at all. Wolff stated that the offices were almost European. It's old-fashioned, unrehabbed in its way. Wolff continued that the trading floor is filled with guys in yarmulkes who are, I have no idea. They're like a throwback, a bunch of guys from the 50s. So here's Jeffrey in this incredibly beautiful office with pieces of art and a view of the courtyard, and he seems like the most relaxed guy in the world. You want to say, what's going on here? And he gives you that smile. Epstein rented multiple apartment units for his employees, models, and guests since the 1990s at 301 East 66th Street. The majority of the apartment complex at this address is owned by Asa Properties, which is owned by Jeffrey Epstein's brother, Mark, who purchased the complex in the early 1990s from Wexner. Over the years, Epstein has housed different friends at 11 East 71st Street, including his ex-girlfriend, Ava Anderson, who is now married to his hedge fund friend, Glenn Dubin, MC2 model founder Jean-Luc Brunel, and on occasions, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. The house has housed some of his workers, including his pilot, housekeeper, and office work staff in the apartment complex. Epstein has also housed underage girls, who Brunel scouted for his MC2 modeling agency. On August 6, 2012, a model and party promoter associated with MC2, Perdo Gaspar, who lived above another of the modeling agency's locations in Manhattan, died of what some consider to be a suspicious drug overdose. Political donations from 1989 to 2003, Epstein donated more than $139,000 to U.S. Democratic Party federal candidates and committees and over $18,000 to U.S. Republican Party candidates and groups. Epstein contributed $50,000 to Democrat Bill Richardson's successful campaign for governor of New Mexico in 2002, and again for his successful run for re-election in 2006. Also that year, he contributed $15,000 to Democrat Gary King's successful campaign for Attorney General of New Mexico. He later contributed $35,000 to King's 2014 unsuccessful campaign for governor. Other contributions in New Mexico included Epstein's $10,000 toward Jim Baca's campaign to become head of the Land Commission and $2,000 towards Santa Fe County Sheriff Jim Solano's bid for re-election. In 2010, Epstein received a notice from New Mexico Department of Public Safety which said, "You are not required to register as a sex offender with the state of New Mexico." This was in contravention of federal law, which would seem to say that the conviction in Florida required him to register in New Mexico. Epstein donated millions of dollars to Harvard University over the years for different causes. In 1991, Epstein was one of four donors who pledged to raise $2 million for the Heitel Student Building, the Roskowski Hall at Harvard University. In 2000, Epstein established the Jeffrey Epstein Foundation, which funds science research and education. Prior to 2003, the foundation funded Martin Nowak's research at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. And in May 2003, Epstein pledged a series of donations totaling $30 million to create a mathematical biology and evolutionary dynamics program at Harvard, which was run by Martin Nowak. According to the Boston Globe, the actual amount received from Epstein was United States $6.5 million. In 2019, Forbes deleted a 2013 article that called Epstein one of the largest backers of cutting-edge science after the New York Times revealed its author, Drew Hendricks, had been paid $600 to submit it falsely as his own. According to Gerald B. LaCroix, Epstein was part of the original group that conceived of the Clinton Global Initiative. Epstein co-organized the science event with illusionist and skeptic Al Seckel, called the Mindshift Conference. The conference took place in 2010 on Epstein's private island in Little St. James. In attendance were scientists Murray Gell-Mann, Leonard Mildano, and Gerald Sussman. The true extent of Epstein's donations is unknown. The Jeffrey Epstein Foundation fails to disclose information with other charities when they routinely do. Concerns have been raised over this lack of transparency. In 2015, the Attorney General of the state of New York was reported to be trying to gain information, but was refused since the charities were based outside of the state and did not solicit in New York. Epstein, besides making donations through the Jeffrey Epstein Foundation, also made a number of charitable donations through his three private charities, Epstein Interest, COUQ Foundation, and Graduate American LTD. According to federal tax filings, Epstein donated $30 million between 1998 and 2018, through these three charities. Following his death, a number of scientists and institutions, notably Harvard University, came under criticism for accepting money from Epstein and his foundation, with some individuals offering to give away money donated by Epstein. According to various sources, Epstein, beginning in the early 2000s, showed strong interest in improving the human race through genetic engineering and artificial intelligence, including using his own sperm. He addressed the scientific community at various events and occasions and communicated his fascination with eugenics. It was reported in August of 2019 that Epstein had planned to seed the human race with his DNA by impregnating up to 20 women a night using his New Mexico compound as a baby ranch where mothers would give birth to his offspring. He was an advocate for cryonics and his own idiosyncratic version of transhumanism and had said that he intended to have his penis and head frozen. Epstein's penis was described as egg-shaped by one of his victims. Kathleen Hall Johnson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, said, "Scientists need funding for important work. If the funding is for legitimate scientific work, there's nothing wrong with accepting support from a billionaire. However, it would have been wrong for scientists to accept his funding if they were aware that he was planning a eugenics experiment that might draw legitimacy from his association with them." Professor George Church also publicly apologized for meeting Epstein after his 13-month sentence, saying, "There should have been more conversations about. Should we be doing this? Should we be helping this guy? There was just a lot of nerd tunnel vision." So, there you go.
A lot of creepy things wrapped up in that.
There is. We have one more chapter after this.
But I think the standout one is, I don't even have to say it, you know.
Which one?
The penis thing.
Freezing of his penis.
It's like everything. Yeah. Like part one, part two.
Yeah.
All this disgusting shit. And then that. Oh, God.
It's like it would be like something disturbing you'd find in the freezer section next to the the popsicles and the Kool-Aid freezer pops. It's Epstein dicks or something. And it's
with it being frozen and be like, yeah. What the F is this?
How is this in a store? This is scary. Like in front of fucking kids.
Like, I don't even know what this little bitty thing is.
It's like Jeffrey Epstein offered to pay the store $1 million a month just to put this in the freezer case. It's like, holy shit. I get it. I get why you're stocking Epstein dicks in your freezer case, but I still like the push pops better.
That makes me kind of throw up in my mouth. Another thing is
creamy filled.
Like, excuse me while I barf a little bit. And then any college or university that did take money from him,
yeah.
I honestly think, I mean, you can't return the money at this point, like to where, but you could turn it into a scholarship fund,
sure,
for, you know, and some low income kids or, you know, well, minorities or something.
The thing is, it's like they've already spent the money, you know.
Yeah, but Harvard has bank.
I get what you're saying.
You know, because they've got the money that they could return it. But there's no place to return it to. So rather than have that in their history, say, you know what, we didn't know that about them, but we're starting this scholarship for minorities.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's so many people who could never get into Harvard because they could never afford it.
Yeah.
Like 99.8% of the
population
that wants to go to college.
Sure. No, I mean, and that's an interesting thing, because it's like when I hear things like that, well, they should give all the money back. Like, give it back to who? Like, you're going to give it back to the criminal and their estate, and then the courts can decide where it goes, or just give it back to the state so the state can decide where that money goes. If there's no legal reason for you to have to give that money back, why would you not just use that money for good? Why not? I mean,
just do something positive.
Yeah, I mean,
we didn't know at the time we were being played, but we were.
We were. And guess what? We're using this money for good things, and we're not going to use it for what he asked for specifically. So we won't follow those wishes, but we're going to use them in a positive way that will benefit many of the kids here or whatever it is. You know, it just take it and use it in a positive way, because who are you giving it back to?
Right.
I mean, at best, the state. I mean, I guess, you know, at that point, yes, then I guess maybe it goes back to the state and then goes to the victims. So maybe that's the argument. Maybe the argument is, well, the estate needs money to pay. So, okay, I get that argument if that is what is truly the argument there. But if that's not how the flow goes, then I don't get it. But that's
and
just
I
me.
I do think there's enough money hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody has to, he had to have documents somewhere of where his money is. Now, people like him can be, he's smart. He was smart. I do believe that.
Yeah.
And he was probably really good at hiding his money.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you could ever truly find all of it.
Yeah.
But I think you could find some of it.
I think it was almost like
should be given to those victims.
I think he knew where he wanted his money to go if he was going to die. And I think he had like the whole fucking thing. It was like he pressed the button and it's like the bombs were just dropped, just bags of money all over the fucking world, all to like people like him that perpetuate his shit show that he was involved in. And if anything, all of those things just got a whole lot richer and a whole lot more money to operate because he's dead. Because I think they did not get in there to get his money and things like that in an organized enough way before everything went down. And now it's just like it's out there and good luck trying to get it back. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you I don't know. I mean, this is a case where there's so much evidence where it goes, you're a fucking idiot if you don't know that there's something conspiratorial going on here within the government and him. I mean, the sentences that he got and everything were just, you could tell there's something wrong here. But
and if you didn't listen to the first two episodes of this, or if you haven't read up on this guy, like, he was not even a slap on the hand.
Yeah.
He was treated very well.
There's something, there's some connection there where he could just get away with almost anything he wanted.
Because then he makes a donation to something or just gives them money directly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dishonest people in this world.
Yeah. It's creepy crazy. I'm really interested in what Ghislaine Maxwell says. If she remains alive. I do not have money. I'm going to say there is a 35% chance she will be alive by the time this airs. That's my guess.
And of course she knows a lot of these people, but it's if she doesn't spill the beans and there's no proof anywhere that anyone can find.
I don't know. I think she's hiding for a reason or had been hiding for a reason and went off the radar for a reason. And
hell yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, of course. But I mean, why that, you know, you wouldn't be in that position to begin with. But it's just like, holy shit, you know, this reopens the whole thing because she knew everything he knew. And that's where it's going to, you know, that's allegedly, that I think that's where it's going to go. All right, let's continue on. At the time of his death, Epstein was being held at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, awaiting trial for sex trafficking. On July 23rd of 2019, 3 weeks prior to his death, Epstein was found unconscious in his jail cell with injuries to his neck. Epstein believed that he was attacked by his cellmate, who was awaiting trial for 4 counts of murder, while the correctional staff suspected attempted suicide. After that incident, he was placed on suicide watch. 6 days later, on July 29, 2019, Epstein was taken off suicide watch and placed in a special housing unit with another inmate. Epstein's close associates said he was in good spirits. When Epstein was placed in the special housing unit, the jail informed the Justice Department that he would have a cellmate and the guard would look into the cell every 30 minutes. These procedures were not followed on the night of his death. On August 9, 2019, Epstein's cellmate was transferred out, but no one took his place. Later in the evening, in violation of the jail's normal procedure, Epstein was not checked every 30 minutes. The two guards who were assigned to check his jail unit that night fell asleep and did not check on him. For about 3 hours, the guards falsified related records. 2 cameras in front of Epstein's cell also malfunctioned that night. Epstein was found dead in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York City at 6:30 a.m. EDT on August 10th, 2019. The Bureau of Prisons said life-saving measures were initiated immediately upon the discovery of Epstein's body. Emergency responders were called and he was taken to a hospital. On August 10, 2019, the Bureau of Prisons and U.S. Attorney General William Barr called the death an apparent suicide, although no final determination has been made. The circumstances leading up to his death are being investigated by the Justice Department. Epstein's body moved from the New York hospital to the medical examiner's office office. On August 11th of 2019, an autopsy was then performed. The preliminary result of the autopsy found that Epstein sustained multiple breaks in his neck bones. Among the bones broken in Epstein's neck was the hyoid bone. Such breaks of the hyoid bone can occur from those who have hung themselves, but they are more common in victims of homicide by strangulation. A 2010 study found broken hyoids in 1/4 of cases of hangings, and a larger study conducted from 2010 to 2016 found the damage in just 16 of the 264 cases, or 6% of cases of hangings. Hyoid bone breaks are more common in older individuals as the bones become more brittle upon reaching middle age. Forensic pathologist Cyril Wetch noted that hanging by leaning forward would not result in broken cervical bones. On August 16, 2019, Barbara Sampson, the New York City medical examiner, ruled Epstein's death by suicide hanging. The medical examiner, according to Epstein's defense counsel, only saw 9 minutes of footage from one security camera to help her arrive at the conclusion. Epstein's defense lawyers were not satisfied with the conclusion of the medical examiner and were conducting their own independent investigation into the cause of Epstein's death, including taking legal action if necessary to view a pivotal camera footage near his cell during the night of his death. Epstein's lawyer said that the evidence concerning Epstein's death was far more consistent with murder than suicide. Michael Baden, an independent pathologist hired by the Epstein estate, observed the autopsy. In October of 2019, Dr. Baden said that Mr. Epstein, 66, experienced a number of injuries, among them a broken bone in his neck, that are extremely unusual in suicidal hangings and could occur much more commonly in homicidal strangulation. I think that the evidence points to homicide rather than suicide. On August 18, 2019, it was reported that Jeffrey Epstein had signed his last will and testament. On August 8, 2019, 2 weeks after being found injured in his cell, and 2 days before his death, until this time, Epstein had been depositing money in other inmates' commissary accounts to avoid being attacked. The signing of the wills was witnessed by 2 attorneys that knew him. The will named 2 longtime employees as executors and immediately gifted all of his assets and any assets remaining in his estate to a trust. Following the autopsy, Epstein's body was claimed by an unidentified associate, later revealed to be his brother Mark. On September 5th, Epstein's body was buried in an unmarked grave next to those of his parents at the I.J. Morris Star of David Cemetery in Palm Beach, Florida. The names of his parents were also removed from their tombstones in order to prevent vandalism.
Attorney General Barr ordered an investigation into the Department of Justice Inspector General in addition to the investigation by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, saying that he was appalled by Epstein's death in federal custody. 2 days later, Barr said there had been serious irregularities in the prison's handling of Epstein, promising, "We will get to the bottom of what happened and there will be accountability." On August 14th of 2019, Manhattan Federal Court Judge Richard M. Berman, who was overseeing Epstein's criminal case, wrote to the Metropolitan Correctional Center warden, Lenaim Di, inquiring as to whether an investigation into the millionaire's apparent suicide would include a probe into his prior July 23rd injuries. Judge Berman wrote that, to his knowledge, it has never been definitely explained what they concluded about the incident. The national president of the Council of Prisons Local, C33, E.O. Young, stated that prisons can't ever stop anyone who is persistent in killing themselves. Between 2010 and 2016, around 124 inmates killed themselves while in federal custody, or around 20 prisoners per year, out of an inmate population of 180,000. The previous reported inmate suicide in the MCC facility in Manhattan was in 1998. The union leader Young said it was unclear if there was video of Epstein's hanging or direct observations by jail officials. He said that while cameras are ubiquitous in the facility, he did not believe that the interior of the inmate cells were within their range. Young said union officials had long been raising concerns regarding staffing as the Trump administration had imposed a hiring freeze and budget cuts on the Federal Bureau of Prisons, adding all this was caused by the administration. President Serene Gregg of the American Federation of Government Employees Local 3148 said MCC is functioning with fewer than 70% of the needed correctional officers, forcing many to work mandatory overtime in 60 to 70 hour work weeks. In previous congressional testimony, Attorney General Barr admitted the BOP was short about 4,000 to 5,000 employees. He had lifted the freeze and was working to recruit sufficient new officers to replace those who had departed. Epstein's attorney asked Judge Berman to probe their client's death, alleging they could provide evidence that the incident resulting in his death was far more consistent with assault than suicide. 1 week after having signed the final will, it had been reported that at least one camera in the hallway outside Epstein's cell had footage that was unusable, although other usable footage was recorded in the area. Two cameras that malfunctioned in front of Epstein's cell were sent to the FBI crime lab for examination. Federal prosecutors subpoenaed up to 20 correctional officers concerning the cause of Epstein's death. On November 19, 2019, federal prosecutors in New York charged Metropolitan Correctional Center guards Michael Thomas and Tova Noel with creating false records and with conspiracy after video footage obtained by prosecutors revealed that Epstein had, against regulation, been in his cell unchecked for 8 hours prior to being found dead. That is the story of Jeffrey Epstein. So how does that do you?
Well, everything about that whole last segment bothers me.
Yeah.
But I will say, I know in my state, the Department of Corrections is very understaffed.
Yeah.
And they're having problems in all the prisons here with staffing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother episode. I just think that there are people in prison who shouldn't be.
Sure.
Like people who had an ounce of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other thing.
Let me take a hit on this real quick while we
talk. But then to say, like, seriously, Jeffrey Epstein had been arrested and he at one point was in good spirits.
Yeah.
Like what?
I think he had made peace with the fact that he was going to die. He knew it was going to happen. He was so, you know, psychopathic and all that. Like, he just knew. Checkmate. He knew at some point either he was going to live it out or get caught. Probably get caught. And it finally happened. And he knew all the people that were going to out him.
Do you really think that? Like, somebody like him doesn't think he's going to outsmart them at the very end.
I think he knew at that point. I think he probably communicated with enough people that, you know, they all had like some of the biggest ones that had the relationships with him that knew all, and he knew the stuff on them. And I think he probably just said, or there was threats to him of like, either you do it yourself or the, you know, we are going to get you in some way, shape or form. And I don't know which one it came down to, quite honestly. That's the different thing. So, no, I don't think he killed himself. I think it came down to that. I think it came down to maybe the first attempt was legit. But the second attempt, I think, was someone offing him.
Well, and sometimes people who decide to commit suicide do kind of find peace in that. Mm-hmm. And just to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they do. I just think the whole thing is so suspicious. And he'd been able to pay his way out of everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've always had a problem with thinking that he killed himself just because he'd had a way of getting out of everything.
I think the first time he tried, failed. And I think the second, he was offed. And I think he knew he had two options. It was either he gets to do it himself or we're going to catch up to you. And they caught up to him. And I think all this bullshit of, oh, we're investigating this, we're throwing this over here. And I don't think we're ever going to see jack shit out of the U.S. government saying anything about Epstein. I think it's a show. I really think it's a fucking show. I mean, as long as as we got the, you know, their fucking buddies, you know, the, you know, in office and stuff, that stuff is not going to come out. You know, maybe at some point in history, but it's still down the road. Not as long as, you know, party pals are able to help each other from high positions. There's no fucking way.
Do you mean wingmen?
Wingmen. Yes, I'm sorry. The wingmen. It's not, but the clock will tick. Time will tell. And eventually, I think the full extent of the story will be told. Ghislaine, I think, is interesting. But again, if they can get if they can get Epstein, they can get her. And that's it.
I would hope so.
You know, meaning like she's going to get killed. I mean, either she's going to kill herself or get killed. It's going to be the same story of Jeff. One of the two is going to happen, and I don't know which or when, but that is my guess. If she knows anything, if there's anything there, that is going to happen. If there's not, then it won't, and she'll just end up in jail. But I think she knows far too much. That's my guess anyway.
Here's the one thing that I want is for those victims to get some sense of justice.
Sure.
At some point.
Yeah.
Because at this point, now that he's gone, like, you didn't get that.
No. No.
And maybe they'll get it with her. I don't know. But if nothing else, at least if they could come out and validate their stories or say, look, what's in his trust is going to go to you or something. Yeah. Like, it's just wrong what he did to those girls.
I think Ghislaine, if there is anything good that woman could possibly do with what is left of her life, it would be validating those girls' stories and saying, yeah, I was a part of this. It was fucked up. And it is what happened. Jeffrey did do these things. So,
and here's the thing. Maybe in some way she was victimized too. I don't know.
You know, you gotta have something twisted going on to be part of some of that shit. I mean, there's some serious mental scarring that would have to have taken place or something to be like, this is cool.
And it's that whole syndrome of people who are with an abuser and then they kind of start to go with it.
Sure.
Because it seems to make sense to them at some point.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of a brainwashing thing. Maybe that's her. I don't know.
You know, very well could be. People described her as like almost like crazy. So, you know, she may have something like that where it's, you know, she had already had this personality type and then she found, you know, the ultimate crazy as shit, you know, guy that could execute some things. And she had money too. And it just was like the marriage made in hell of, you know.
Yeah, and then he's hanging out with really important people.
Yeah.
And then you get wrapped up and like, woo, yeah. Prince Andrew's at the party tonight. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I'd be the one over there taking like pictures of him. I'd be like, what? Prince Andrew just walked in?
Yeah. I think it's just, it's one of those things where if there's one good thing she can do, it's validating the stories. I think it's almost as good as Jeffrey Epstein being in court and being found guilty, because I don't think he would ever admit to it. I think Ghislaine has a much more higher chance of publicly stating, yes, these girls' stories are true. All this shit happened and he was guilty and I was part of it. And then they get on with whatever the fuck she did and then sentence her. That would be the one thing she could do. And I don't want to see it like in a plea deal where it's like, I think you can be free. I mean, I don't think that anyone wants that, but I wonder if that's the only way we're going to get something like that out of her.
I don't know.
But I could see that. Like, you're either going to be in jail for the rest of your life, you know, or you tell us.
Or you're still going to be in jail for the rest of your life, but your conscience won't be quite so guilty.
Or you're going to get shot outside your house.
She doesn't have one. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. You know, she could be as twisted as he is, and this whole thing's rationalized in her brain. All the girls wanted it, and that twisted shit.
Wouldn't it be crazy if, like, this story goes in a total other direction, and it turns out she's, like, the fucking brains of the whole operation, and he's just this playboy that's living it up, and she's, like, the even, like, more dark and more deceptive than everything that we think about Jeffrey Epstein, which is pretty fucking low to begin with, but it's, like, just tyrannical, crazy shit that she was capable of, where it's like, you thought Jeffrey was bad, wait till you meet Ghislaine, you know?
Maybe it was one of those things where you have two crazy people and they get together and then it's like, shit,
I wonder.
Watch out. Maybe it was some of that too.
Hey, who had Ghislaine Maxwell for August or for July?
Oh, so bad. I don't like to do that sort of thing, but that's, I mean, she got herself into this.
I got her. I think July. I don't think she's going to see August, quite honestly.
Okay, I'm not going there at all.
Come on, Ghislaine Maxwell, Death Pool. Let's play, everybody. You don't want to play?
I don't.
Okay.
I just have.
But what if you have to, because it's part of the show?
Stuff like that.
All right. Now, I'm going to say by the end of July. I don't see... I mean, unless they really do take good care of her in custody, she's either going to kill herself or somebody's going to offer, one of the two. And
maybe, here's me, the eternal optimist, that maybe the whole thing with her coming clean just to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not going to happen either. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Once I said that out loud, I'm like, oh, hell, that ain't going to happen.
I think that fucking clock is ticking. I think it's like, any day. I mean, I'm waiting for the morning. I mean, I wake up every day and I look at my phone and there's all the, you know, notification. Then there's like news ones in there. And I read the headlines and any day now, it's going to be Ghislaine Maxwell dead, found dead in prison or something like that.
I would just prefer the idea of her being in prison forever.
Yeah, I'd prefer her being able to talk and get some validation for these girls, but I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it does. I hope I'm wrong. I think this shit goes much higher than the prison guards and what they have control of. There is something else. Somebody else is involved. And there's your trickle fucking down economics right there. That's how that works. We can trickle down to stop anything that we need to stop if it's going to incriminate our ass. So that's where I'm thinking it's going to go. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, but I don't think so. That's going to wrap up this episode, part three of Jeffrey Epstein here on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. We indeed will be doing the Ghislaine Maxwell story. I'll probably be announcing her name differently by next
however
week.
However the hell you say her name.
Next week, it'll be completely different. It'll be Giselle.
Right.
Giselle.
Let's just go with Giselle.
We'll go with Giselle. On the next episode with Carol, we'll be having that. So it's either the next one or the episode after that or sometime soon. We'll be jumping into her story. So stick with us. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And please leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. It helps the show grow. Lets other folks know that we exist. For the Dark Side of Wikipedia and for everyone at the Dark Side of Wikipedia, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.